Welcome to The Future Built Smarter, a podcast in which IMEG engineers discuss innovative and trend-setting building and infrastructure design with architects, owners, and others in the AEC industry.
I'm your host, Joe Payne, back with my co-host, Mike Lawless, IMEG's Vice President of Innovation. Mike, welcome back.
Great to be here again. It's always fun, Joe.
Today's guest is Peter Monroe, a structural engineer with IMEG who lives in Denver. Peter, thank you for joining us today. When I heard that you had recently returned from somewhere far, far away, I knew that we just needed to get you on the show. So tell us where you just got back from.
Well, I was scheduled to be in McMurdo Station in Antarctica for 6 days. I wound up being there 12. The whole object was just basically a site visit, something that I was going to do it on something that was in Denver. I'd have coffee in the office in the morning, and I'd go out, and I'd be back before lunch.
Not so with this one. So that's probably the longest site visit you've ever taken in your life, I imagine.
It is that. It is that. Back many, many years ago, I visited Saudi Arabia a few times. So I've been there. But this is much further than that. This was 25 hours by plane from Denver to Christchurch commercial, and then from Christchurch to Antarctica, it was a military, basically, it's a National Science Foundation plane, but it's basically a military C-17. So it's the same cargo plane that they put the president's limousines and stuff in. And we sat on the sides, and it had generators and some other things that were going some other place down there.
That was quite the travel. Let me back up just a little bit, just to give a little context here. Peter, you're a structural engineer, and you've been in the business for 50 years. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm embarrassed to say. Let's see. Starting in basically 1969, so what is that? I think it's closer to 55.
You most recently with IMEG, you were client executive of our structural team in Denver.
Correct. So a year and 4 months ago, I retired from that position. I stayed involved on projects that were ending, and then when this trip came up, I said I would go. And also, I was the one that had stamped the drawings when they were completed. So I was the engineer record on the project.
The McMurdo Station is a National Science Foundation research center, right? And it's like, 60 years old, and just was really just time to upgrade. And
exactly. I've been telling people the best way to describe it is if you go to some of the old mining towns here in Colorado out in California that are half abandoned, but still there. It's kind of like that. You know, there's big fuel tanks up on the hillside that are no longer in use. And then there's another set of fuel tanks that are in use. And there's a conglomeration of buildings throughout a village, you might say.
Our involvement with McMurdo Station goes back to 2016, right? When we provided scope drawings for projects that later on went design build. Then two other projects came online for which we provided construction documents, this being one of them.
Right. First one we started was what's called the core building. And that was about 250,000 square feet. That would replace like 7 or 8 of the existing buildings down there. We proceeded and we were well along in construction documents on that building. And they said, no, stop. We need to do some housing first. So then in basically 2019, we drew this housing project, and that's what I went down to look at. And it's basically a three-story dormitory, I think about 285 beds. So this was going down to look at that.
So where'd you stay while you were there? I mean, that probably gives us a little bit of a sense of what it's like to be there.
Right. And when I stayed, it was actually in the central building that had the cafeteria or the galley, as it would be called, I guess. As far as I know, it was built in about the 1980s by the Navy. The architect from Stantec and I arrived down there at the same time because we were both doing the visit. Then as time went on, we acquired a third roommate. He had been at a location about 1,000 miles from McMurdo running heavy equipment for the summer, and he was on his way home. And then a couple nights later, we acquired a fourth roommate, and he had been fueling planes as they came down and doing that type of thing at the South Pole, and he was on his way home.
So they're looking forward to some of the new construction in the new dormitory?
Yeah, absolutely. The new dormitory is going to have mostly single rooms rather than the room we were in actually had a capacity of five because there was one bunk bed. Well, that didn't get used. The most was the four of us.
So how long does it take to build this dormitory in that scenario being in Antarctica?
This is the second summer, and the structural frame now is essentially complete. And now they've left for the winter. They'll be back down there again next year, and then they'll be putting on the exterior skin. And then once, hopefully next year, they can finish the roof, which is not yet on, put on and do the exterior skin. Then hopefully they can work through the winter to do the interior services and stuff. So I would say that next year, within probably 2 years, it's going to be to complete it.
And so in addition to the shortened window of opportunity for construction that makes this project unique, what about the environment and how that affects the design of the structural system? Was that something that you'd never encountered before?
Yeah. The cold weather we had encountered before, because we've done a lot of work in the mountains. A few years ago, we were involved in looking at a restaurant at the top of Pikes Peak. And the top of Pikes Peak here in Colorado is actually permafrost. The ground up there actually stays frozen throughout the year. So we had a little experience with permafrost and worked with that, such that the buildings down there are basically all on stilts, such that the air and the snow and stuff can circulate underneath in order to keep the ground frozen. And then the next part was they made a decision not to do a concrete plant down there, such that everything was precast. The footings were precast, and they were made in California. The structural frame is structural steel, and that came from Tennessee. And the precast floor slabs came from Utah. And that all went to the harbor in California and then went down to the site basically in containers or modularized. So everything was done that way. So then the process is to excavate down just a couple feet. You don't get below frost. So you excavate down just a couple feet. You get a firm bearing. And then you set the precast footings. And then you build the steel frame and then set the precast slabs going up from there.
So the foundation bears on the permafrost then?
Yeah, the foundation bears on the permafrost, and part of the design is to keep that permafrost frozen because it does have the soil borings, if you want to call it that, contain ice in them. So if it should melt, it's a problem.
What about the frame having to be exposed for a winter in Antarctica? What does that do to your thought process of the design?
Well, you know, you need to stay with mild steel, the lower strength steel, because of that, because some of the higher strength steels don't like the cold as well. But yeah, that was exposed now. Part of it was exposed last winter, and all of it's going to be exposed now this winter. The building is X-braced, so we're good for the wind loads. And then there's also temporary bracing that's been installed. It'll be left in until the exterior skin goes on next year.
Do you have to do anything with the temperature differences, because it sees such cold temperatures, you know, during the Arctic winter, and then it does get, you know, it's not warm maybe for the continental U.S., but it does get, you know, warmer, right, 50 degrees in the summer. So it's quite a delta in temperatures, the structures.
Yeah, it's a higher delta than here, but it's not as much. And actually what happens is we do thermal breaks for our exterior decks, and that type of stuff has come into play in the last 10 or 15 years to not allow the heat to transfer into the building. Down there, we got a thermal break in the columns going up, such that the footings are in place, and then the first stub columns are about 4 foot tall. Then there's a thermal break, and then the building columns are fastened to that. And then eventually that thermal break will be in the insulation that's at the bottom of the soffit, if you would, of the building. So
it's a totally enclosed insulated structure, cube at that point, or rectangular, yeah, shape that just sits on top of some foundations 4 foot or so above the
first. Exactly. Yeah.
So you were down there for the placing of the final beam, is that right?
Yeah, just by coincidence. If I had been there to 6 days instead of 12, I would not have been there when they lifted the final beam. A couple of those extra 6 days were due to mechanical issues with planes, and then the rest of them were due to weather issues.
So seeing that last beam, you know, hoisted and put into place, you know, must have been pretty neat. But it sounds like there's a long process to getting ready for it. I guess, what kind of lessons learned or things did you find going through that process as far as, you know, prefabbing all these things offsite and shipping them down there? How did that go, and how did it feel to see it all come together?
Well, it was good. We generally made good decisions. The constraints we knew about were steel short enough to fit into shipping containers. The pier down there that the ships pull up to is actually an ice pier, and it's probably the size of about 3 football fields. So it's probably 100 by 200. And then it has a bridge that goes to the land, and the footing sizes, the maximum footing size we could have in the one dimension was governed by the width of that bridge. So we knew that going down there. And then with precast footings, and then having to have anchor bolts in the exact location to be able to set the steel on top, is we actually provided sleeves, and then the anchor bolts were grouted in place once the footing was set. The surveyor confirmed the exact location of the footing, so the anchor bolts could move an inch or an inch and a half in each direction to get the steel then in the right place.
To clarify, when exactly were you down in Antarctica?
I flew out of Denver on February 1st, and I got back on the 21st.
Okay.
All right. So I spent, like I say, it's 25 hours through San Francisco and then Auckland to Christchurch, New Zealand. I was there a couple days. First day you're there, they pick you up and you go get fitted for cold weather gear. The big red parka, insulated overalls, moon boots, and mittens, and hats, and goggles, and stuff like that.
It feels like it's as close to constructing something on the moon or Mars as you can get and still be, you know, on Earth.
It is, yeah. You know, and I think there was a lot of lessons learned because this is one of the first major projects on this dormitory, and hopefully it transfers to the core. But there's examples of the stuff got to Port Lejeune in California, and it went in containers. Well, there was containers that had steel beams and piping for the sprinkler system that's going to start going in a year from now, and bolts for the one size steel beam over in some corner someplace. So the inventory was not exactly scientific, if you would. So there was a lot of sorting and looking for things and stuff like that. sprinkler contractor was down there 8 to 10 days, just basically looking in these containers and trying to figure out where everything that he's supposed to have down there is.
So it's certainly you want to make sure you've got everything checked off, because, you know, you forget something you need down there. You can't just, get it right away.
Well, and there's, and everything that goes down there has to come off as well. So now there's, you know, it was prudent. They sent down three extra of these precast slabs that are basically 25 foot long and 8 foot wide. Well, they sent down three extra, which was prudent because quite likely some would have gotten broken along the way. But now they got three extra slabs sitting down there. And someday they're going to have to come back to the United States.
So on these extra days that you had there, what did you do?
Well, I spent some time on the site every day, and then I spent some time in the trailer checking emails and doing things like that.
So there really wasn't much time or opportunity to kind of just walk around the Antarctic? And
oh, I did that every day. I took that every day, and I've got little videos showing the penguins. One of the days, there was two of the little Adela penguins walking down the road. And then one day, the big Empire penguins came in. And there was probably somewhere between 50, 60, 70 of them. And then the last day I was there, I had seen the seals over near the New Zealand base, which is about maybe 3, 4, or 5 miles from the U.S. base. Up on the ice, but really hadn't seen them over at McMurdo. But the last day I was there, I was out for a walk, and there was two seals. And then I looked in the water, and there's probably three more. And then this one is crawling up the bank. And I had made a mistake of putting my phone in my exterior parka pocket. The thing was so cold that it wouldn't work. So I've got little videos of penguins, but I missed on the video the seal crawling up the bank.
Well, you can cross off Antarctica from your bucket list.
Yep.
Yeah, I know when you, like, for example, if you're in the Navy and you cross over the Arctic Circle or such, you're honored with some type of certificate, anything like that that they give anybody that shows up down there?
I guess supposedly I'm supposed to get something from the National Science Foundation. Yeah.
Okay. Like the penguin emblem or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Peter, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you bet.
That was Peter Monroe, an IMEG structural engineer, talking about his recent trip to McMurdo Station in Antarctica. To see a few photos from Peter's trip or to listen to other episodes of The Future Built Smarter, visit us at imegcorp.com or find us on any podcast app. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great day.